No, not one.
Why we think this hymn? Because this is related to the theme of the next book that we are going to study, which is the book of Colossians. What is the theme of this book? The theme of the book of Colossians is the supremacy of Christ. 基督的超越, the supremacy of Christ. The theme verse is in chapter 1, verse 18. Next. Chapter 1 verse 18. Okay. And chapter 2 verse 9. Next. Okay, so these two verses are the theme verse in the book of Colossians. Why Paul have to write this letter to the church in Colossians? The timing was about AD 60. 60 years after Christ. He probably wrote it in the prison. Once again, one of the prison letters. He wrote in the prison in Rome. At that time, he's already in prison. So it's very close to his death. Not immediate. He passed away about 64, 65. But now the time is around 60. So at that time, the church, not only in Colossae, but everywhere, are already seeing some challenges. Challenges not only in terms of persecution, because at that time the full-scale persecution has not attacked the church yet, but there is another soft form of influence to the church, which is thinking.
思想, huh?
Or thoughts. There are different kind of thoughts that influence the first century church. I can give you some example. First, legalism. The first thing that affect the church is legalism. That means some Jewish member proposed the idea that even though we believe in Christ Jesus, we have salvation, but we still have to keep the law. We have to go back to keep Passover, circumcision. So the law is still important. So by emphasizing the law, or equaling the law the same as Jesus Christ, so they discredit Jesus is the only most important thing. So that is a thought that slowly affect the church. 律法主义, huh? Another kind of problem facing the church is angel worship. Some members were influenced by maybe outside. They not only pray to Jesus, but they also believe guardian angels. Of course, there are angels who can guard us. But if you emphasize them too much, you even pray to them or even worship angel is wrong. Right? So, this is the things that is facing. Another idea or thought is, we can call it asceticism. A-S-C-E-T-I-C A-S-C-I-S-M, asceticism, which means emphasize on suffering.
苦修主义，苦修主义啊
，asceticism, which means there's a thinking that if believing in Christ is not enough, you have to make your body suffer in order to promote your spirituality. Have you seen in some place in Europe that maybe people?Flog themselves or put them in a fake cross but cut their bodies and also just to show that, oh, just to confess their sin and then try to uplift their spirit more to God. And because of this idea, later it developed in the Middle Age that there's monastery. You know monastery? When you go to Europe or in UK here, have you visited any monastery?That people lock up themselves there, they don't get married, especially Catholic Church, the priest, they cannot get married, they force them not to get married, so that they suffer, and then they vow to God, and they lock up in the monastery, eating very simple, sleeping very simple. They think by doing this, they can obtain holiness or closeness to God. So those kind of thinking actually come from asceticism.
苦修主义啊。
So those kind of idea. One more thing is philosophy. Philosophical thinking were also influencing the church of the first century. One of the thinking, philosophical thinking that affect the church is called Gnosticism.Gnosticism. Gnosticism. You don't pronounce the G. Gnosticism. Gnostics. This word means knowledge. So Gnostics mean knowledge. Gnosticism is the noun of the thinking. Of course, we can go very deep, but we don't need to because this is rubbish, right? It's not true. But basically, it's emphasized you can obtain salvation or eternal life through secret knowledge. They emphasize on knowledgeabout your understanding to the world, extreme, you can go to extreme. So basically, it's a philosophical thinking. So Gnosticism, actually it's very broad. You can go to internet, research yourself, but it can go too extreme. The result of Gnosticism can result in two extreme behavior. The first extreme behavior is you go to asceticism.Which means you make your body suffer in order to attain eternal life. But another extreme is they emphasize, I have knowledge is enough, I don't care what I do, I don't have to control my action. So they indulge in a lot of sins. So this kind of philosophical thinking or secret knowledge, legalism, angel worship, was the thing that influenced the church even more than persecution. Do you remember when the church first started by the apostles under the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Immediately they were persecuted, right? Who is the first one who died as a martyr?
Stephen.
But did the church stop preaching because of persecution?
No.
The more they were persecuted, the more they grow.Just like the physical principle, right? The physics principle. The what? Second law of Newton, right? Is it? The more force you give one direction, the more it's bound back, right? So, same. The more you persecute the church, wow, the church grow even bigger. So, devil kind of know. In long term, persecuting the church is the third law, right?
Yeah, third law.
The second one is in in nutshell. So devil kind of know. The devil kind of know. In long term, persecuting the church doesn't work. Just like you want to subdue a person. If you just beat the person up, doesn't work, right? Because he'll rebel you. He can fight back to you. But if you want to control a person, you control the mind. Right? If I can control you, control the mind, I don't have to bound you up. You follow me wherever I go, you become my friends. Right? Whatever I do, you support. Whatever I say, you believe. And then I can control your mind, I control everything. So the devil is very cunning. So he knows persecution doesn't work that well. So at the first century, Paul, in his old age, already found out that the biggest crisis in church, in the true church, apostolic church, is not persecution. Is thinking from outside. If not deal with immediately, very soon the church can get corrupt. And it happens. After the first generation all died, the church really were influenced so much by outside. And they lost the Holy Spirit. Now we are at the end time, even though we may not face the very same thoughts that they faced 2,000 years ago, but we are also faced with different kind of thoughts. But the same thing, they want to influence the church the same way. So that's why we have to study the book of Colossians, seeing that how Paul proves to the member, yes, even though there are many things outside, but none can compare to Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is supreme. 最高的, 超越的, he is the best one. Nothing even can be comparable. They are not even the same level. Jesus Christ is supreme. So, this book is very important. Let's go to the book itself. Chapter 1. Verse 3 to 8 is Paul's prayer. Let's read verse 3. To 5. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. So he mentioned about Paul's prayer. He always begin his prayer by thanksgiving. And once again, this book was divided, we can divide them into two sections. Chapter 1, chapter 2 is talk about the theology. Chapter 1, chapter 2 is about the Christian theology, about supremacy of Christ. There's a specific word for that. The doctrine of Christ. Because you have to know who Christ is to build your faith. But before you say anything, he gives thanks to God first. Why he gives thanks to God for the members? Because there are three reasons. Verse 3 to 4 tell us what is the three reasons. First, because of your faith. Second, because of your love. Third one, because of your hope. So Paul, in his Pauline's letter, always emphasized these three essential aspects of Christian life. If we have these three elements, we can give praise to his glory, and we can manifest the difference. Where in the Bible, where else talk about faith, hope, and love? Okay, that is the assignment. Because I was told that you are too free. You have too much free time. I'll give you some assignment. Search from the Bible, the whole New Testament. Where did Paul, all the Pauline letter, okay. Where did he talk about faith, hope, and love?
mention all the places and explain what does it mean. 兴旺爱啊，在保罗所有的书信里面，
你要赶快读啊，读一遍。
You to read through all the Paul letters, skim through it, find out where all the places he mentioned about faith, hope, and love, and then try to expand what does it mean. For this assignment. Very easy, right?
很简单啊。Okay, don't look at me like that, right? You look very innocent. 很可怜的样子。Okay, so this is a very simple assignment. Now, talk about the supremacy of Christ. We must focus on verse 15. Now, chapter 1, verse 15. Next.Okay, from verse 15 to 22, Paul started to talk about the supremacy of Christ. Why he's so special? Why he's higher, bigger, better than all the other things that will influence them? The key word is on verse 15. Actually, there are a few key words in the book of Colossians. Verse 15 could also be one.The Son is the exact image of the invisible God. This is a very wonderful theological explanation. The Son, if you remember John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, what did he say? In the beginning was the Word.The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, what did he say? The Word come to become flesh. The process, the Word become flesh. The Word is the spiritual realm. But the flesh is the physical realm. So this process of coming down to the world, become a human being, is so profound. This is only found in Christianity.That God can become man. And that concept is so mysterious. How can an invisible God, eternal God, to downgrade himself, become a human, humble human being? But that's exactly what Jesus Christ is. So Paul wants to emphasize, if you see Jesus, don't look at him from a physical perspective. You have to understand him from the eternal perspective, that he is the exact image.Of the invisible God in verse 15. You remember there was one time Philip asked Jesus, can you show us the Father? If you show us the Father, we will be happy. Where is it recorded in the book of John? You should have read the book of John already, right? Where is it? Show me. There was one time Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father.Where is it? Chapter 13, 14, verse 8. Can you read for us? Verse 9. Thank you, Jay. Even though you're new baptized, but you fast search for the Bible verse so fast, more than all the older members. Huh? So the other, we have to work harder, okay? So underline this verse. Then if you see me, you see the Father. This is the theme of John, actually. Actually, if you understand every book, the theme, actually, they're all related, right? They're all related, all working toward the biggest theme. What's the bigger theme? Salvation.Jesus Christ, who he is, right? All the other book, the sub-theme is supporting this bigger theme. So this 14 verse 8, Philip asked Jesus, show me the Father. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. I came to Newcastle, right? and I was talking to one sister. One sister told me, my daughter is in your class, do you know? I said, which one? What's her name? She said, it's okay, you look at her, you look at me, and you look at her, you see, it's my daughter. We look the same. But actually, yes, after I talked to the sister, yeah, they look the same. Yeah, so. Or maybe the brother, you look like your brother. How do you look really like your brother? Almost like a copycat. Who do you think you really look like your father? Or sister, some of you, right? But Jesus Christ, he doesn't look like the Father. What is he? He is exact image of the Father. He is the Father coming down on the world in flesh. So that's why he has supremacy. He is God himself. So God himself more than any other things. That's the basics. Let's turn back to Colossians. The second reason why he is supreme, verse 16. Present to read from you. Where were we? Verse 16 tells us all things were created by him. And then all things include everything, including all the spiritual realm, all the power, principality. There's a three verse here. All things created by him. Second is through him. Thirdly, for him. You can circle this keyword in this verse. This the structure of this verse is so beautiful. The creation by him, through him, for him. What does it mean by him? Of course, by God. But when Paul, of course we know that Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, who created the world? In Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, who created the world? In the beginning, God created the world. But in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, if you read the verse, who created the world? Jesus. Isn't it? We don't explain Bible verse, right? But we just bring it out. According to Colossians, Jesus created the world. The world is created by Jesus, by the Son, right? The world created for the Son. And then the world was created through the Son, through Jesus. Now, let's stop and think. If you are believing in Trinity, there's no way you can understand this. I know you haven't studied one true God and Trinity yet, right? But other outside churches, they don't believe in one true God. Their concept of God is Trinity. They think Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they are different. You cannot say Jesus created the world. They can't accept it. They say it's God created the world. Isn't it? Right? Because Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 tells us God created the world. But Paul mentioned about who created the world. Jesus created the world. Then how can Jesus create the world? When God created the world, Abraham was not even there, right? Adam was not even there on the day one. But Jesus created the world. What does it mean? Jesus is this eternal God. They are the same. God come to the world in the form of flesh is Jesus. But in spirit, Jesus is the eternal God. That's why Paul is so bold. Paul is so special to mention that the Son created the world. The world was created, what? Once again, read aloud. By him, through him, for him. That is the supremacy of Lord Jesus Christ. That's why TJC, we uphold the supremacy of Jesus. We don't talk about Heavenly Father that much, right? Even though sometimes we do. We don't talk about directly say, oh, the name of God. But of course, we emphasize the name of God is Jesus. So the supremacy of Jesus. Okay, and secondly, okay, let's read verse, continue verse 18, why he is so supreme. Verse 18. Next. Verse 18 tells us, he is the head of the whole church. There's another reason he is so supreme, because no one in the church can compare to him. Even though you are Peter, doesn't matter, you're only a human being. Even though you are James, you are Paul, you are any apostle, you are just a human. Jesus is the head of the church. And verse 18 tells us, not only he's the church, he's the first one to resurrect. No one in human history, yesterday we mentioned, can be dead for 3 days, locked in the tomb, the body should have started to rot. But Jesus, he's the first one to resurrect. Now in the Bible, there were a few persons resurrected, right? Who was resurrected? Didn't they count what the Bible said? Jesus is the first one to resurrect. Who was resurrected from that in the Old Testament? Elijah resurrected someone, right? Who else? Nazareth was resurrected, right? But those are not counted. Why? Because they resurrect, but they still die. And they never die for 3 days before they resurrect. So this is that's why Jesus is the first one to resurrect. And then verse 19. This is a very nice verse. Verse 19. Next. It pleased the Father to have all fullness in him. That is a wonderful verse. Why Jesus is so good? Because in him is all the fullness. 基督一切的里面有一切的丰盛, That means everything you need, you could be found in Jesus. You don't need anything else. He is good enough for your every need. You don't have to go back to observing the law. It's futile. You don't have to worship angel. Why? Angel is nothing compared to Jesus. They are servants. They are not eternal God. Why do you want to suffer yourself, hit yourself, just try to get close to God? It's no use. It cannot help you. It cannot change your habit. Why you have to do philosophy? Right? You want to study all those thinking for what? I'm not saying that majoring in philosophy is a sin, right? If some of you are, sorry, I'm not saying that you shouldn't major in philosophy. Is there any philosophy major here? Yeah, but if you are thinking to go into it, let's maybe think a bit more, right? That may be a more meaningful thing than going into it. Because philosophers, they are discussing for thousands of years about the issues of life. They only raise more questions than answer. And the answer they provide sometimes doesn't make sense, doesn't apply. So philosophy cannot solve mankind the problem. If it can, there will be less and less problem, right? Because there are so many thinkers throughout ages. But no matter it's Confucianism, what kind of thinking, it's never really helped people. Because look at China. Now, modern day China, the character, the moral standard is just like rubbish. Right? But we have good philosophers, isn't it? If you look at Chinese history, a lot of great philosophers came in. Confucius, Mengzi, 什么子, 庄子, all the Zi, right? But can people do it? Can people do it? No. People can't do it. Right? So philosophy cannot help you. Secret knowledge cannot help you. Who can help you? Jesus. So Jesus in him is everything that you need and everything that you never be lacking. So how do we apply to this verse? You know, after we believe in Lord Jesus Christ, our whole life should be dedicated to Jesus. Some brothers and sisters say, oh, I need good help, right? So what do? Can I do yoga? Yoga, right? I want to practice yoga. How many of you practice yoga? Yoga? 瑜伽, 有没有练瑜伽? 有没有练瑜伽呢? Do you have a friend do yoga? Nowadays in Canada and US, many young people are so crazy about yoga. Hot steam yoga. Steam yoga. Yeah. Don't do this. Don't try to learn yoga. It's from Hinduism. Yeah, you may say, oh, just for activity or exercise. But if you go to the internet, search what is the sources of yoga, it's from Hinduism. All this posture actually related to the worship at the very beginning. Of course, yoga class don't talk about this, but you know, if you one step inside, you know that actually is related to Hinduism, right? So you don't need all those things. You just need taking a walk outside. You don't need practice yoga. Right? I like to take a walk outside just for exercise or climb the stair, right? Oh, every day now, I climb the stairs so many times. But really help my health. So all you need is Lord Jesus Christ. Don't go to all those useless philosophy, all those other religion, or other philosophical thinking. And verse 20. Verse 20. Once again, the theme of New Testament appears everywhere in the book of Paul's letter. Once again, the cross. Through the cross that God reconciled us to God. First of all, we reconcile to Himself, Lord Jesus Christ, and then to God. So through the cross, the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. So the cross is all you need. The cross is all you need to help uphold your whole life. After we reconcile to God, He lead us, Lord Jesus Christ lead us to God. Verse 22. Can you read 22 again slowly and loudly, please? In the body of His flesh, right? Now that's very important, huh? Oh, everybody wake up. What I want to emphasize, Christ was there, actually in the spiritual realm. But when He came down, He was in the body of His flesh. Okay, continue please. I'm not scared of you anymore. Read again verse 22. Huh? Okay, so thank you. So in the body of His flesh, through His death, guide the people in front of Him. So this is exactly the cross. Through His death, we are guided to Lord Jesus Christ. So when you go out, you should bring this message to your friend. Now, if you see your friend is lost, if your friend is not happy, not joyful, if you see your friend, they're not happy in the family, they are losing hope, they are depressed, you bring them to Jesus. Your other friend, they don't care. It's okay, let them do what they want. But you see someone who may need Jesus, you may bring him. Bring him to God. This is so precious. Okay. Once again, jump to verse 28. Okay. We may present everyone perfect in front of God. This is the ministry. What is the ministry of preaching the gospel? Not to bring a person to a human being, but rather bring him to God. For example, I'm a worker, right? You listen to me preaching. But if I tell you one day, hey, you know, support me. I'm not getting along with the leadership in the church. But let's do another ministry. You support me. Can you do this? No. If I do this, I bring you to human being. You're looking at me. I don't want you to look at me. Don't look at any worker. Your eyes should be looking to Jesus. Our work is to bring you here to look at Jesus. But a bad worker is to bring people to himself and look at himself. And he wants to influence them. Influence them in the way that he wants to do it. So that's why you have to bring people to God, not bring people to yourself. You have to tell people, even though you guide a truth seeker, you tell them, you know, I am not important. I bring it to Christ, but you have to talk to Jesus yourself. Right? I cannot give you what you ask for, but God can give it to you. So that is a very important concept. Chapter 2, verse 6. Next. A
7.
Paul tell them you have to be rooted and built up in the faith. Why you spend so much time in YTTC and learning all this basic doctrine or New Testament? Because now you are just like a builder building a house. But before you build a house, you have to dig down for the foundation. You have to dig deep before you build high. In future, you want to work for God, right? But before you do that, you need to have a solid foundation. If you don't have a foundation, first, you may be enticed by the wrong teachings or the philosophy of this world. Just like in verse 4 tells us that there are a lot of people trying to use seducing words to deceive you. But if you have strong foundation, you know that Christ is all you need, then you will not be enticed. Okay, let's see nowadays. I don't know in your school or your friends, what kind of religion your friends have? Or anyone, does anyone has ever tried to preach to you before? Any people ring your bell, ding dong, and then try to come in to preach Jesus to you? Yeah, usually they are where? From Jehovah's Witness or Mormons. Right. Yeah. These two churches are the most aggressive in terms of evangelism, right? TJC, we are very weak. Actually, we don't ring bells that much, right? Maybe once in a while, the evangelical team will ring bell, but nowadays, even in North America, people don't even open doors for kind of evangelism. People tired of religion. Up in Europe, in France, do people ring bell? Has anyone ever ring bell to your house, preach to you guys? Are they Jehovah's Witness or Mormons? They are very strong in evangelism. Wherever they go, even Africa, even Europe, even everywhere, they just don't afraid. They just ring bell and give you leaflet. Sometimes I think that while the attitude is really admirable, but even though the gospel they preach is wrong, but the spirit is something that we can learn. If TJC preach like this, everywhere is TJC already, right? But of course, our evangelism cannot be compared to them. Anyway, what I want to say is sometimes not only you preach to people, sometimes other people preach to you. So I suggest you don't let them come in. Otherwise, you let them come in one time, they come back all the time. Just tell them, no need, thank you, bye-bye. Yeah, I'm a Christian too. If you want to talk about the Bible, come to my church. Talk to my pastor. Uh-huh. Yeah. But sometimes your friend, maybe they are from other religion. Some are maybe in Buddhism, some are Muslim. Of course, we respect each other religion. Right, but in case that they want to talk to religion with you, you must know how to answer the question and not being enticed, not being affected, but rather bring them to the truth. So that's why we need to prepare. Chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read verse 9. Next. Chapter 2, verse 9. Underline this word is very important. All fullness will dwell in Christ once again. This is the theme verse, one of the theme verse. All fullness are in Christ. So following this verse from verse 10 to the rest of the chapters, from verse 13, 14 talks about legalism have no use. Right, God, Lord Jesus Christ has blotted out all the ordinances, all the regulation against us. Verse 14, right? Yeah. So legalism, no use, remove. Because there's one verse very important, verse 17.
Which are a shadow of things for the substance is
the very important. Underline this verse. This verse tells you the relationship between the law and the New Testament. Remember lesson 1, we talked about that already. And that once again appears in the book of Colossians. Paul himself is the best person, is the most suitable person to talk about the law because he was educated very deeply in the law of Moses, and he was even granted the status of Pharisee. So this means he graduated from a very highly regarded institute.
Right.
However, after going through all those years and compared to Lord Jesus Christ, his conclusion is very clear. The law is a shadow. It's not totally useless, but rather it's a shadow. If you haven't seen, for example, you see my shadow? Right? If you haven't seen, if you've been blocked this side, but you see my shadow, you kind of, oh, what is the shape, right? It's five fingers, the hand. If you've been blocked from seeing the real subject, right? But until one day you see the real subject, you don't go back to the shadow and try to study it that hard and try to find out, oh, what is Passover, what is all the ordinances. This is not the main point. So Paul proved that Old Testament is a shadow. New Testament, Jesus cross and salvation is the real substance. So that's why verse 18, he talks about angel worship. Don't let people steal your reward by worshiping the wrong thing. Because they don't uphold, verse 19, they don't uphold Christ, they don't uphold the hand. So today we must uphold Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 20 to 23 talks about asceticism. Some people make them suffer just trying to be close to God, but actually they can attend no effect. Even though you beat yourself 1,000 times every day, you cannot really remove the desire inside. Because the sinful desire is from inside, not from outside. Even though you beat your body, it's no use. After your body is healed, you still want to do it, right? You still want to do the bad things. Even though God shut your heart, eyes, but in your mind, you can still think about bad things. So, by afflicting yourself, suffering physically, cannot solve the problem. Only can rely on Lord Jesus Christ. So from chapter 3 to 4, talks about how can we live a new life in Christ. We have to deal with, by the power of the Holy Spirit, become a new person, using love, using prayer, and of course his guidance about the life of husband and wife, and how to deal with Gentiles. So those are practical instruction. If you have time, when you read it next time in your house, of course you understand the theology, and you can focus on the practical life. Of course, the practical life in a spiritual cultivation, that is a very important saying. Chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. Are we back to here? Okay, back to...
Therefore, put to death the members which are impure: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Okay, put to death all the sinful desire. We have desire, but you cannot grow the desire. But we must put to death the desire by the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot allow the desire to grow so that one day they devour you. How many of you hate cockroach? Eh? Is there any cockroach in UK? Not much? When you go back to Hong Kong or Taiwan, do you see cockroach? I heard that Hong Kong, the cockroach is so big. When I was young, I see the cockroach can fly. Wow! When you see a cockroach, what do? You smash it until you see the juice, right? You want to make sure it's dead. This is how it deals with your sinful desire. Yeah, the desire come out when you're doing your computer. Your mind tell you, oh, maybe I should check it out, watch this, right? It's so curious. But think about, no, well, Jesus doesn't want you to do it. Okay. I'm not saying that you beat your computer. But beat your mind. You might say, no, I must deal with that desire. The desire tell me to do this, but I don't do it. I must pray. Or the desire tell me to do something which contradict the truth. The desire tell you to be jealous. The desire tell you to be anger, to be angry, to be bitter. There are mentioned about many different kinds of desire. If you're from verse 6, greediness. Underline this verse. Greediness is just like worshipping idols. Right? Chapter 3, verse 5. Greediness just like is equal to idol worshipping. So if the anytime you are greedy, pray, hallelujah, please God help me to remove the greed in my heart. When I see other people's possession, you are greedy, deal with it right away. No, shouldn't be greedy. Hallelujah, please God help me not to be greedy. So deal with the desire and then put on a new self. Put on a new self. There's so much good teachings here. And then chapter 3, verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15 is very nice too. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. I really like this verse. What rule in your heart, brothers and sisters? Do you let anger rule in your heart? Yeah, sometimes something happens. You're so angry. Yeah, you have the right to be angry. You have every reason to be angry. But do you want anger to rule your heart? If you let anger to rule your heart, your situation will not change, will not improve. By getting worse. Just like you shout, somebody shout back to you, shout to you, you shout back to him. Right? No use. For what? You cannot change the situation. If you let desire to rule your heart, wow, you do all sorts of things that really sadden the Holy Spirit. So don't let all those negative things ruin your heart. But pray. Holy Spirit guides you, fill you, let peace of God ruin your heart. Pray until you have peace. When peace ruins your heart, you're so happy, you're so joyful. Sometimes when I drive, right? Some people drive like crazy in Toronto. I don't know, in UK maybe you guys drive better. Wow, Toronto, sometimes people just like cutting lane everywhere. Every day I'm stuck in traffic. I think LA too, right? LA is also crazy driving situation. Taipei or those things. But sometimes people haunt me and then say something, shout at, but in my heart I pray, God, please give me peace so that I will not be the same as them. If they do it, you do the same. Then you don't have peace. They can shout, they can swear, but in my heart I have peace. Let them do whatever they want. So you always pray that God give you peace in the heart. So the rest of the book is lots of encouragement. You can read it yourself later. Let's pray in silence.